This week, we start things with a look back. The Tuesday midterm elections featured races at a local and national level, which affected New Jersey voters in a variety of ways. It'll review some of the results and discuss whether maybe they offer a look into what may happen with the state-level elections in 2015. Is the Assemblywoman for New Jersey's 24th District, Allison McHale. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start locally. We'll just work our way up the chain. Probably to the surprise of no one, the one Sussex County race that was, or the countywide race, was for the one freeholder seat, and the incumbent Republican Phil Crabb easily won, 23,960 votes versus Democrat challenger Bill Waitman, 11,316. Not a bad turnout as far as midterm goes for the county, just under 36%, which is not too shabby. Maybe more so the ballot questions might have brought more people out, along with some of the local elections. But when you look at county politics and Democratic challengers, it seems like for county races, it just seems to be the same names over and over, just plugged into different campaigns each time the circle comes around. That doesn't sound like any way to grow a party.
Well, I don't know what's happening. I'm not privy to that information, but obviously you have to have someone who's willing to put their name on the line, and it's not the easiest thing to do. Your family has to be involved. You know, it's time, money. You have to raise money. So it's not a simple prospect. So Bill Waitman, has run for several offices. I have lost count with how many he's run for. But, certainly this was not an ugly campaign. And I think part of the reason, too, that people came out may have been the congressional race for Garrett and Rodney Frelinghuysen were both challenged, but also the U.S. Senate race. Now, despite the fact that Cory Booker won statewide, Jeff Bell did win Sussex County handily. So I was happy to see that.
Speaking of, we'll move up to the House races now. It was kind of laughable where, again, the district maps on both levels for the national races and for the state legislature are just so finely drawn by both parties. And we can get into that a little bit maybe later, too, that results are almost foregone conclusions. But nevertheless, it seems like every time Garrett runs for re-election, it's always going to be that close race. This is going to be the year that he's going to be upset. And again, the results are the same, a double-digit win.
Right. I think it's really and truly the Democrat Party in Bergen is pretty strong. And I think that they felt empowered this year because they thought they had a strong young candidate. However, as the race went on, they realized, there were some holes in his campaign. And certainly they hoped, because they have 70% of the plurality of Congressman Garrett's district is Bergen County, they thought they might have a shot. But he did very, very well. And Congressman Garrett, raised a lot of money, ran a good campaign. And I just want to say, though, that all of the congressional races in the 24th district, Congressman Frelinghuysen and Congressman Lance, I'm thrilled that the incumbents were elected back to office, because we all work well with them and they do a great job.
Garrett won his reelection by a spread of 56-43, Lance 59-39, and Frelinghuysen easily 63 to Democratic challengers. 37%. We're talking with Assemblywoman Alice McHose here on Issues and Ideas, AliceMcHose.com, and the State House is njledge.state.nj.us. And if you're keeping tally, New Jersey saw three of its House districts elect new representatives to open seats. The tally overall is still the same balance, 6 Democrats, 6 Republicans. So that is a status quo situation, although New Jersey, given the new majority, the growing majority in the House, at least half of the delegation being part of that majority, that puts the state in a better position given the alternative.
I agree.
Looking at the ballot questions, we talked last week pretty much about the open space ballot question, which was approved, as are most, I think, every ballot question for open space for about the last half a century has gotten approval. But the interesting one is the bail ballot question. Voters approved a second constitutional change, allows defendants charged with serious crimes to be jailed pending trial with no option for bail. And as an addendum to that, it would allow low-risk defendants to be released without bail rather than spend months in county jails awaiting court dates for low-level crimes, which we've seen stories like this where someone charged with a low-level nonviolent crime, because of maximum minimums, they're forced either into jail or be released on with a sizable bail, which most people aren't able to afford. And this frees the judges up to just do some common sense.
Right. I think that ultimately the goal of this was to reduce the stress on the jail population and the cost of having someone incarcerated if they're a low risk. And the latitude is still up to the judges, but we had to do something in our Constitution to clarify this. And, you know, whereas in the past they were putting even, like you said, the low-risk people in jail, and now the people that deserve to be in jail in terms of, you know, the level of the crime, I think it makes it more clear. So I'm happy with that. The concern about the open space one is that there was no sunset on that particular portion of the bill. I mean, the constitutional amendment. And so the fear is that, you know, in perpetuity now, we're going to be in debt, you know, indebted to, you know, borrowing money to buy land. And do we have the resources to take care of the land? And that's what I think the DEP was concerned about, that we don't have the money to take care of our existing lands right now.
Kiley's Law was a law that came into play, and certainly a lot of controversy and a lot of people pushed back against the teachers and parents in particular. A study came out from the American Journal of Preventive Medicine showed that when other factors are taken into account, the New Jersey law requiring new drivers under 21 years old to use a red decal on the license plate had reduced road crashes among this age group by 9.5% during its first 2 years on the book. That equals 3,200 fewer teen crashes and road fatalities, although that's not part of the survey, according to stats from the New Jersey State Police. 48 teen fatalities in 2013, that's 27 fewer than the average number of teen driver deaths over the prior 4 years. And the figure so far this year in 2014 is 19. So it sounds like numbers are indeed the facts, that the pushback of this law was something that other people should maybe have second thoughts about.
Well, this was a controversial bill. The young girl who this is named for, Kiley, was in our district in Washington Township in Morris County. And if it deters kids, if they know that they're going to be watched more closely because of that little red sticker, let's hope that, like you said, that this is a positive. You know, I still have mixed feelings about it as a parent and a mother of a young driver, whether it helps or hurts, but the statistics here are definitely positive.
And when you do, again, the math of the matter, there's over 170,000 young people that take to New Jersey's roads each day. It's about 3% of the state's licensed drivers, yet they are involved in more than 10% of the crashes. So therein lies the concern with all of that situation. If you want to share your thoughts on these topics and bring to her attention something you think is a matter of importance, you can do that at AllisonMcHose.com. And keep on top of the action at the State House, of course, you do that, njledge.state.nj.us. She is the Assemblywoman from New Jersey's 24th District. Allison McHose, we will talk again next week.
Thank you, and have a great day.